Welcome to Riders on the Trail, hosted by Don Harmon. Dana and Alice Kearns run the Double Rafter Cattle Drives. This is not a trail ride, is not a dude ranch, and is not Disneyland. Hello, Dana.
How are you today?
Doing good. Yourself?
Well, I'm getting things ready to put cattle on the mountain, so we're sort of scrambling around here.
Yeah, that's your actually, one of my first thoughts is about your upcoming July ride. It's a drive. It's not very far away. How many cows will you head out with?
Well, we'll end up with about 450 pair on the mountains. We have two different trips that we take cattle to the mountains. The first of those trips will have about 240 head in it. In the western count, that's only mature cattle. That doesn't count the calves at side. And then the second group will have about the same. That second trip is through the Semper Fi Wounded Warriors program, and we have all Wounded Warriors on that trip.
Ooh, that's nice. That's really a nice thing. I didn't know you were doing that. Good for you, man. This is a real drive. This is a real cattle drive. That means a rough ride. Can an inexperienced rider go?
Yeah, we take every level of riders, and the reason we can do that is because we own all of our own horses. Consequently, we cowboy on them all the time ourselves. But we know the horse so well, we know exactly what level of skill rider it would take to get along with that horse. So we've actually had people come who've never been on a horse. That's rare. Most of the riders we get are intermediate riders, but then we get some that are excellent horsemen, and we have horses that will fit every one of those levels. And a beginner certainly does not want to have a horse with a Ferrari engine, and someone experienced doesn't want a horse geared for a beginner. So we start each of our trips with a horsemanship clinic. I have a clinician come in, that allows us. He spends three quarters of the first day doing some different things with them, and we're watching this to make sure we have people matched up according to a horse that fits their skill level so that they can be comfortable during the course of the week. Because if you're nervous because you don't trust your horse, you're going to miss out on a tremendous amount during the course of the week.
You're also going to make your horse as nervous as you are.
Yes, exactly, because a horse is unbelievable at sensing your feelings and whatnot, and so if you're all tense, the horses keep you to start thinking, well, what am I missing here? Why I better get tense because my rider is concerned about something. So it's important we get people matched up with a horse that they're comfortable on, and we're very good at doing that.
A week in the saddle is a while. Can a rider bring his or her own saddle?
Yeah, anybody that wants to bring their own saddle, that is absolutely fine. Anybody that's ridden much knows that every saddle sits slightly different. So you're going to be more comfortable in your own than you will be in one of ours, just because they, like I say, they're all slightly different. But most people, instead of going to the work to ship their saddle out and whatnot, about 80% of them just use what we have.
How about a rider's own horse?
We really, really discourage that. One of the main reasons is, our horses in their own right are different than anybody else's horses. And our horses can't go compete in the arena. And most people's other horses have never had the grueling physical week that they're about to get into. Then horses naturally having a pecking order. When we turn these horses out at night, they're out with our own horses. They're not going to be in where they can be pampered or taken care of. We find that generally most horses, because of our elevations, aren't in good enough condition to handle it. The other issue is that their horse then gets chewed up. So we highly discourage people from bringing their own horses. Our lowest elevation starts at about 4,500 feet, and we go to above 9,000 feet. When you are going to be in the saddle for 20 to 30 miles a day for a horse that's not adjusted to those types of elevations, it is totally brutal on them. And so we really, really discourage people from doing it. We had a guest one time who wanted to bring his own and looked at our video on the website. And he said, after seeing your video on the website, he said, I decided I would leave my poodles home.
What breed are most of your horses?
We're about 95% quarter horse. That other 5% is made up with, of course, there's some thoroughbred in some of those, and there's one or two that have got a little bit of draft in it. We don't have much, anything really that you would call any of the gated breeds. Horses that are gated horses don't make very good cow horses, because a cow walks so terribly slow compared to what they are used to doing, and so mentally it becomes very frustrating for them. So we do stay away from the gated horses.
Yeah, that quarter horse is my favorite. I had a running quarter for a long time, that Appendix. Mm-hmm. He was just one great horse. So, is personal hygiene provided?
Yes and no, depending on, you got to sort of look at what the early pioneers had. We, tell you what we do, as far as outhouse facilities, when we are in the valley en route to the mountains, and those camps are vehicle accessible. I actually own a couple porta potties that we can pull, set up at the camps, and that is what we use. And then when we get onto the mountains, is what we do is we have a couple teepee tents with a half barrel and toilet seat in them, and dig a deep hole, and we then, of course, line that hole, and then we pack that at the end of the trip, we pack that up and haul it out of there. So there is that. The river is always there for somebody who wants to go take a dip in it. That water comes right out of a snowbank. I prefer to leave the dirt on. I'm sorry, that water's too damn cold for me to do that. But a lot of people
river shower doesn't make it, huh?
The problem with it is it's not so bad getting in the first time, and then you get out and lather back up, and then you realize, I got to get back in it. And that becomes the challenge. And so I leave the dirt on for the week.
Have wild animals ever been a problem?
Have wild animals? No. We don't have any grizzly bears. That is the one that that I would be the most concerned about. And those we don't have yet. We do have the wolf, but actually the most dangerous animal we have, and people don't talk about it, but it's the cow moose. That is the one you want to be concerned about. They're a heck of a lot worse than bears or any of those things. We do have the black bear and those things, but we've never had anybody bit or anything like that. We've had a few occasionally show up in camp, not often, it's the cow moose you want to be concerned about.
I've never heard that before.
Oh. Yeah, they're terribly dangerous if they've got a calf. They are. You talk to these people that ride into this wilderness country and whatnot, the cow moose is one you want to watch.
How does a rider know before the rider comes out, when he's trying to get ready for this, how does he know what kind of a horse he or she's going to get?
Well, I choose. We match. There's a couple things that go into our criteria of matching people up with a horse. And on our registration form, there's a question that says, briefly describe your riding experience. And then depending on how they answer that question, then their age, their weight, and their gender, we choose then a horse for them. And then when we do the horsemanship clinic, it allows us to see how close we are to correct. And we generally will have 90 to 95% of them that won't have to move again, that we're pretty good at it. And the hardest question we have that people don't like to answer, and I understand why, and that is the weight question. But the fact of the matter is, if anybody knows anything about riding, trees are all different sizes that you ride in. And it's especially sensitive for women, but women carry most of their weight in their backside. And so if all we have is their height, We set a saddle out, got it labeled for they and their horse. They show up. We don't have a weight figure on them. And all of a sudden, you take one look at it and think, whoa, we've already got to do some saddle swapping because the saddle is too small to fit that person. But that is the criteria we use to match up a horse. Somebody who is in their 60s or 70s probably doesn't want a horse that's geared quite as high as somebody who is in their 20s or 30s. And so those criteria all go into matching up the rider and the horse.
Yeah. And then, as you say, you have that time with the clinic to see if you were right in your information, you know, transfer.
Yes, exactly. And on our clinics, we start out, we make everybody saddle their own horses. This is the real deal. We're not going to wait on them. We're not saddling their horses. We make them saddle their own. We instruct them on how to do it. We are standing right there to see to it they do it correctly. The clinician that we've got, he's a certified clinician, very, very good, and he'll pick up all kinds of little things and whatnot that he will pass on to us about, I think we maybe want to pull this person off of that horse and put him somewhere else and things like that.
I would also guess that there's a ton of stories and information and what have you to having for these people to be able to spend so much time with your wranglers. I mean, they got to, at the end of the day, they got to have a list of questions about why did the horse this or why did that damn cow do? Or, you know.
Yeah, it's an interesting thing because most of the times, very few people we have know much about handling cattle or how to read an animal's reaction. And so we do. At the end of the day, we have all kinds of questions, and our clinician is excellent of answering them, and he can get very technical about, well, it's because you've got your shoulder's wrong, and he can point these different things out to people to try to help them. The interesting or the most difficult thing to get people to understand, if you have a problem with horse, 90% of the problem is pilot error. It's you, the pilot, that is not doing something correctly. And to try to get that relayed to somebody without offending them can be a little bit of a challenge. And yet there's nothing like what we're doing to give people confidence, because the terrain they're in is not manicured in any way, shape, or form. It's up, it's down. And so just the increase in their confidence overcomes a lot of the issues that they have early in the week.
Yeah, that's a good idea to have that clinician riding with you.
Yep.
That's a very good idea. Go ahead.
Guys, I don't know of another one in the country that starts them out with a horsemanship clinic. I don't. I've talked with other people that have done some of these trips, and they say we went to them and they took 30 minutes and sort of did a little instruction here. Then we got on and off we went. But we spend the better part of the first day just emphasizing and working on those things.
Yeah. Along that same line, as far as being out there, I imagine cell phones are dropping off. Is there any problem if someone is to get sick or to have an accident or to need medical attention?
Yeah, we do have a medical person that goes with us every trip, so that we do have somebody there on staff to handle most immediate things. We have a sat phone and a GPS. Our different camps and whatnot are all ready, coordinated in with the Flight for Life. So that if we have to call a helicopter and get somebody evac'd out due to a head injury or something like this, we are prepared to do that. And as I say, we do pack a sat phone. So access is, if we need it, it's there.
Dana, you have really covered all the bases on this trip. I'm going to have to think about this a little bit. I think I'd like to saddle up. I'll saddle my own horse.
it's the most interesting thing, and we have met people from all over the world that have come and done this with us, and it is so much fun to meet everybody because you find out that most everybody's looking for the same thing in life. So we have become very close with people from all over the world, and it's just a lot of fun. It's exhausting You'll be dirty at the end of the week, but you'll be exhilarated beyond belief.
Yeah, well worth the issue. Well worth the trade, huh?
Yep, exactly.
Dana Kearns, thank you very much for your visit and for giving folks an opportunity for a real cowboy experience. Is there any last thought you'd like to leave us with?
No, it's just if you are looking for a truly real 1880 style cattle drive, we are it. It's a go rain or shine, you'll be probably more exhausted than you've ever been in your life, but more exhilarated at the end of the week than you can even start to imagine. So you'll have a lot of fun.
Thank you again, Dana. I do appreciate it, and I'm really glad that you're reaching out to the Weekend Warriors. That's really an excellent program you have going. So
thank you very much.
Thank you. All of us are on a trail. On a good day, we're a horseback. Good day.